ground control to Major Tom.
We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Every month, Lake Effect contributor and astronomer Gene Creighton joins us to talk about the universe and our solar system within it. Today, we're over the moon. Hey, Gene, how are you?
I'm great, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And I am reminded, because I'm old, that this is a very significant, or we're about to hit a very significant anniversary in the history of space and space travel.
I would say of humanity.
Of humanity, yeah. And it's huge. And that's 50 years ago, we walked on the moon.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that on television. And I remember all of us kids getting pulled together. And we didn't have a TV in the house at the time. So we went to a neighbor's.
Wow.
And they had one of those big old console TVs, you know, with a tiny little screen. And it's that fuzzy black and white, you know. But we were just astounded.
Yeah, I'm sure. One of my dear friends says that her grandma, who at the time I think was in her 80s, she took a look at the television. She had seen the first car, the first airplane. She said, nope, this is too much for me. Nope.
I can't deal with it.
Yeah, I've seen the car. I've seen an airplane. Nope. Of course, subsequently, we've sent more people, but certainly many more machines we've sent to the very edges of the solar system. It is an amazing anniversary. Well, I'm sure we'll have to take this in chunks, but I think our first step is to talk a little bit about what were the innovations that were necessary to do that bold, to make that bold technological feat happen, right? Because it was less than 10 years that people had to pull it all together and get a whole lot of technological advancements that simply weren't there. Now, you probably remember, many of our listeners will remember, but some won't, that the Soviet Union at that time, it looked like was quite ahead of the game. They had certainly built stronger, faster, better rockets. So the United States had some serious catch-up to do, and one of their main issues was to build a rocket ship, so a machine that could carry a significantly larger load than it had in the past. Because if you have people, it's not just the people, it's all the support systems that are really heavy, and there's all kinds of contingencies that you have to build in, because your tolerance for risk, if it's just a machine, is much higher than if you have people on board. So that was the first big thing. We needed a reliable machine that could carry such weight, and Saturn V was perfected. This was a rocket ship, a launch vehicle is the technical term, that was significantly bigger even than the biggest rockets in 2019.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. This was monumental. I mean, you can think of a really, really tall building, and that's how big the Saturn V stands, not to mention that it would burn hundreds of thousands of gallons of fuel a minute. So that was one big piece, and all that entails to figure out the correct fuel, all of that. The next thing that most people don't realize, I mean, the rocket is obvious. The second thing is not so obvious, and that is to communicate with such a machine, you need to be able to talk to it, yes, but you also need to be able to hear from it. And energy is at a premium. These rockets, these whole missions ran on a song, energetically speaking, so they wouldn't be able to boost, and you would understand that. They just didn't have the energy to boost the signal so that it's audible, if you will, from a normal receiving station. Not to mention that they only were visible for short periods of time at any given location on Earth. So the decision was made that there was going to be a network of these huge antennas around the world called the Deep Space Network. And that meant that there was continuous coverage, and you can imagine them as big ears. They could hear a very, very slim signal, and of course they could shout whatever commands that we needed to send. This didn't affect Apollo 11 quite as much as it affected Apollo 13, but we were able to save the people on Apollo 13 because of the Deep Space Network, and that is a critical piece of any kind of robotic work that we do if we send something to, say, Mars or, never mind, Pluto. Big ears, big mouth for the Deep Space Network. The third thing that was fascinating to read about, I've been studying all kinds of aspects of this exploration since, as you say, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary, was designing a lander. It turns out that there was a lot of argument among scientists and engineers, what is the best way to get a person to the moon? Is the best way to get them straight there? Is the best way to have an orbiting machine around the Earth and then somehow get some little piece of it to the moon? Better to have the orbiter going around the moon and then having a little vehicle that goes from that to the surface of the moon and back? It all sounded pretty far-fetched. In the end, the last plan was the one that they chose. So they sent a spacecraft orbiting the moon, and from that, a little lander landed on the moon, and everybody kept their fingers crossed that they could get back on the orbiter and then come back to Earth. A lot of things had to go just right for that to take place. The weight was a significant problem. Rumor has it, if you look at some of the books, they said that they would spend, I think I'm saying this correctly, 10,000 hours to get 1 pound off the weight of the lander because it was so expensive. In the end, they did things like the walls of the lander were the thickness of 2 sheets of paper. Strong, of course, right? But very light, very thin. And they wanted to make the bare minimum that's sufficient, but not a gram more than necessary. The other piece that I think is changed the life that we know now in everyday terms is that because of the weight restrictions, the computers that were used at the time had to be significantly reduced in size and in how much energy they spent. So, well, you might remember computers used to be filling rooms, right? They were absolutely enormous things, and they needed to be shrunk by a factor of 20,000 to get the job done. So that tendency toward minimization has carried to this day, and our electronics are continuously getting smaller and smaller, more agile, more energy efficient, more reliable, and that will perhaps enable us, or certainly will help, to get us to Mars.
You know, I was thinking about the size of computers, and I remember when I first saw a computer, it was at Dartmouth College, and it literally took up a couple of rooms, and it was ice cold because it had to be kept cold, and they had punch cards that it. So you had to put in cards that was the programming that made it actually do whatever the thing is that you needed it to do. And when you think that you took something like that and in a very short time shrunk it down, maybe not as small as the cell phone that I'm holding now, but significantly smaller so that it could go to the moon.
Right.
I mean, that's astounding. And, you know, one of the things I think really made it possible was will. It was political and cultural will to make it happen.
Yes.
Because otherwise it would never have happened.
That's right.
We would have never put the resources into it. We would have never, you know, achieved what we achieved in that short amount of time.
That's right. So, you know, now the comparison is different because the will probably isn't quite there to spend that kind of money on that time scale. But so many people are still interested in space exploration. And there's also now potential for some commercialization in that maybe there can be fruitful ways for industry and government, public funding to make, you know, our next adventures possible.
Let's hope.
Yes.
Let's hope. Well, we'll talk more about this next month on the actual anniversary. But until then, Jean Creighton, it's always great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Lake Effect contributor Gene Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium on the UW-Milwaukee campus. There is a link to the lunar anniversary party the planetarium is holding this Sunday on our website, wuwm.com.